Now, during the pandemic, we can push back and move some events, like education. Kids can learn in different places and at different times. The same flexibility is not available in the farming business. The agricultural crops of the region are ready or soon will be ready for harvest. They won't wait. But harvesting crops, especially hand-picked crops like grapes and pears, takes people, often working in close proximity. And that's a red flag in the days of physical distancing. Farm, orchard, and vineyard owners are getting assistance from government at several levels in making the harvest process as safe as possible. We have three guests, two from the Jackson County Emergency Operations Center. Steve Lambert is operational group leader, normally the head of Jackson County Parks. Steve, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. We also have with us Jackson Bowers, who is the Jackson County Public Health Division manager. Hi, Jackson.
Good morning, Jeff.
And from the Oregon Department of Agriculture, we have Jonathan Sandow, who's special assistant to the director. Thank you, Jonathan, for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Jeff, for having me.
Steve Lambert, let's start with you, because in our weekly conversations with Dr. Jim Shames, the county medical director, he does occasionally refer to the Emergency Operations Center. What is the general daily business of the EOC?
Well, in regards to the seasonal migrant kind of farm worker end of things, we have two focuses. One, as employers start bringing workers back into the Jackson County region, we're trying to support them from a pre-employment testing program. So through EOC, HHS, and our partner, La Clinica, we're providing free pre-employment testing for any employers who want to take advantage of that. It's not a requirement of the state, but more a best practice, I guess, if you will. So we're working with La Clinica on that to ensure and hopefully give the growers a little bit of insurance that as people come in from around the country and Mexico to start supporting our agricultural employers, they're possibly not bringing the virus with them. So that's a big part of what we've been coordinating. And then also PPE distribution. We're working with the Expo, our logistics center out there, to push PPE out to employers to ensure that as workers start living in those close quarters and potentially working in those tight groups, and are a little bit more susceptible than some of the other, you know, jobs in the Jackson County region, they have the proper PPE and employers have access to that, including face shields, KN95 masks, hand sanitizer, et cetera.
So the pre-employment testing is what it sounds like. I mean, you get people tested. If they do show positive signs, well, this is the person they're not going to hire.
Yeah, I mean, we feel that, you know, through the health department and some of the partners we've been working with, like I said, including La Clinica and UNITE, some of the farm worker advocacy groups, that the sooner that we can identify a positive case, hopefully before it gets into the workforce, the quicker that we can isolate that individual and hopefully prevent spread within the workforce. And that not only protects the employees that are working there, but it helps to ensure employers that their operations can continue somewhat normal during this COVID time, and hopefully their harvest won't be disrupted. And, you know, a lot of this that we're working on at the state and county level isn't just geared towards employee safety. That's obviously a huge part of it, but it's also really heavily geared towards ensuring that employers and agricultural growers can continue to operate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's, Jackson Bowers, give us a sense of the level of concern in public health about the kinds of things that usually happen during harvest, the usual way in which things are conducted.
Well, COVID certainly is a different time. This is the first year in terms of where public health's really been kind of pulled in and trying to focus on the on agricultural workers as a whole. And to kind of dovetail into what Steve was talking about, we're working with La Clinica, but beyond La Clinica, we've actually have a group of community partners we've been meeting weekly with, including UNITE, Department of Employment, OSHA's been involved, Department of Agriculture, Department of Human Services, and really trying to make it so we have this coordinated testing and response to prevent and slow the spread, as Steve said, and to help the farming operations continue while keeping everyone safe and healthy. So the roles from public health, we're really responsible for investigating the reportable diseases, disease outbreaks, so if there's a case, make sure we do case investigation, contact tracing, the isolation quarantine, and then we're going to be working with our partners to help provide some of those wraparound services and also possibly help with contact tracing. There's a grant for community-based organizations provided by Oregon Health Authority, and one of the groups they prioritize, among others, are undocumented communities and farm workers. So we're trying to bring all these funding sources together and work together as a community to really help farm workers.
We did talk about that grant last week, and quite a few organizations we notice around this region got funding for projects. The idea being, of course, to make sure that the health message gets to every nook and cranny through all the avenues that people have come to expect here. I do want to turn to Jonathan Sandow now at the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and just the kind of arrangement that Jackson was just talking about, where you bring in Department of Human Services and the Employment Department and Ag Department. Are these somewhat unusual groupings, or are you used to working together in the past?
Yeah, I'd definitely say that, you know, the COVID crisis has brought together agencies in a way that, you know, we haven't typically worked, either in close coordination or directly, you know, doing outreach in this kind of manner before. But certainly with the end goal of, you know, providing these support systems and resources to mitigate the spread, and kind of reduce the disruptions, you know, during the harvest period and just to the food supply chain system.
Now, between tree fruits, vineyards, and hemp, which are all major crops in southern Oregon, are these generally very labor-intensive harvests, Jonathan?
Yes, those are definitely crops that depend heavily on, you know, a both healthy and active workforce to bring in a successful harvest.
And do you have any idea the total number of people usually required, either in one corner of the state or the whole state?
Yeah, so that's a good question. There's, you know, we have roughly, going off of memory on data, about 60,000, I think, migrant and seasonal farm workers throughout the state of Oregon. And so that, you know, that's a lot of labor capacity and dependency that we rely on to get that successful harvest every year.
Now, okay, so 60,000, that's really good to know that number, but I can't imagine that happens all at one time. Does it move like a bit of a wave across the state from harvest to harvest?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think down in the southern Oregon area, you know, even there, you know, different crops come on at different times, you know, up in the Hood River Valley throughout the Willamette Valley and in the eastern Oregon, there are definitely different harvest periods for different types of crops.
We're talking about harvest safety here on the Jefferson Exchange. Harvest time approaching, if not here already, for parts of the state. Jonathan Sandow is a special assistant to the director of the Oregon Department of Agriculture. And from the Jackson County Emergency Operations Center, we have Jackson Bowers, Jackson County's Public Health Division Manager, and Steve Lambert, the operational group leader. Got questions, comments about harvest safety? Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Steve, what do ag businesses have to do to get the assistance of the Emergency Operations Center? I mean, I imagine there's a fair amount of outreach already to let them know you're there.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it as simple as employers. They got enough to worry about right now as they start preparing for harvest here, literally, if it's not upon them already, then within the next couple weeks. In regards to peak and pear operations. So we're pushing the information out. We've put an electronic brochure together that we put out to the Oregon Employment Department, who then has pushed that out to employers who use certain types of migrant and seasonal farm workers. We've also printed copies of that. We have out at the Grange Co-op. We have out at Helena Chemicals and typical places that maybe some of the ag community operators would go. We've also pushed that out to the Rogue Valley Vintners Association for distribution amongst the wineries and vineyards here in Jackson County. So that brochure talks about the pre-employment testing program, where it's at, gives a phone number. I'll put that phone number out here for folks to have. It's 541-774-8209 to contact the Jackson County Health Department. And they can schedule an appointment with La Clinica and get more information there, talking with the health department employees about the pre-employment testing program.
Well, that's 541. I'm going to hit it again. It's 541-774-8209?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And as far as the PPE goes, we're distributing PPE Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Jackson County Expo. There was a nice article last week in some local media regarding that. So we're hoping that builds some awareness. To date, we've handed out over 15,000 KN95 masks and several gallons of hand sanitizer. So some folks have got the message, and we're going to continue to push that message out for the next few weeks as harvest season rapidly approaches.
I noticed the article, and it was kind of fun to see Helen Funk, the Jackson County Fair Manager, and, you know, because you can wonder what people do when their events don't happen. There is no Jackson County, was no Jackson County Fair this year, but employed now at the Operations Center, it looks like.
Yeah, that's one of the neat things about the Emergency Operations Center is it pulls people in from diverse areas and diverse roles within the county, and really kind of leads to some creative thinking. And Helen's done an awesome job leading the logistics team there and getting PPE out throughout this whole crisis to homeless shelters and agricultural operators and everyone. So, yeah, we're proud of the work she's doing out there.
So you mentioned you're trying not to hassle the agriculture people when they're in the middle of harvest or getting close to harvest. I mean, but is there any way to know if there are some orchards, some vineyards not taking part?
I would say that that's a hard estimate for us to guess, because a lot of the stuff that we're trying to provide is not mandatory. It's not required by the state necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's a complimentary service that we here in Jackson County are trying to provide. So it, because it's not mandatory and there's no checks on making sure folks are doing it, it's really up to the employers to jump on board if that's something they want to do, and hopefully realize that everything we're doing here at the county through EOC and public health is really meant to support the growers. It might seem counterintuitive, but we're trying to make their operations successful and a little smoother as we continue through harvest season, and it might take a little work up front to do that, but hopefully it pays off throughout the season.
Jonathan Sandow, at the state level, the Department of Agriculture or anywhere else, Oregon Health Authority, and you're obviously all talking to each other, has there been any discussion of mandating some things in the fields and orchards?
Yeah, I mean, I think this would be an important time to mention that there are temporary OSHA rules that do impact agricultural operations. And to support that, we stood up a program with, you know, the governor's office and some, you know, other agencies called the Food Security and Farm Worker Safety Program. And it's FSFS for short. That is a financial assistance opportunity for farmers and ranchers and, you know, growers to be able to get financial assistance to, build in social distancing capacity within provided housing, get additional field sanitation units out to their field, so extra, you know, toilets and hand washing stations, reimbursement for additional transportation costs when we have to do the social distancing there, and then also reimbursement for face coverings. So growers and farmers out there who are incurring these costs, they can submit those receipts and get, if not 100%, at least a portion of that reimbursed back to them.
FSFS, Food Security and Farm Worker Safety, is that what you said?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that is actually being hosted by OEB, the Oregon Water Enhancement Board, mm-hmm. is running the whole program. And so you can find more information and the application and everything through their website.
Okay. It's interesting. It's a watershed enhancement thing. But, you know, like we were just talking about with the Jackson County Fair Manager getting into the Emergency Operations Center, you find ways to deploy people in ways they haven't been deployed because of the pandemic. We are talking about agriculture safety with Jonathan Sandow at the Oregon Department of Agriculture and Steve Lambert and Jackson Bowers from Jackson County. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone or by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Jackson Bowers, in our weekly conversation with Jim Shames, we've talked a bit about the general intention here, and it sounds like what the idea is to make sure that groups of workers essentially travel around like a family, a cohort, those people are the ones who are going to be hanging with each other all the time, and not a lot of intermingling of those groups.
Yeah, that's correct. That's one of the strategies to try to prevent large outbreaks of COVID. It's just as you've heard about schools talking about having smaller groups of students if they were to actually be in class. It's trying to have these small kind of cohorts where they're working together. So if you do have a case and they have a fewer contacts needed to investigate, and then it won't affect their agricultural operation as much. Obviously, it won't affect the health of that population working in that agricultural operation. So that is one of the strategies, trying to have as small groups as possible working independently or working without intermingling, being housed together, feeding and so forth. So just keeping groups separate.
And Steve Lambert, where are you getting the PPE from? Is it a little easier to obtain now? I know a couple of months ago it was sounding fairly horrific and people competing or states competing with each other and trying to get a hold of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure about states competing with each other. I'm not at that level of obtaining the PPE. That's more for John Vile, the incident commander out there at the EOC. But I do know that we have plenty of it. And this is not, I think it's important to note, this is not medical grade stuff that we're handing out. We're not handing out N95 masks. We're handing out KN95 masks, which is something that can't be used in a medical facility. So we're pushing that level of stuff out that'll still be plenty effective for folks out there in the field. Tagging on to what Jonathan mentioned, I think it's also a good time to bring up that if a seasonal worker does get quarantined or isolated, there is some assistance out there from the state through the Quarantine Mitigation Fund to help cover a portion of their wages for up to, I believe it's a 14-day period. And so we're not, the state and county isn't necessarily only trying to support the employers, but there's funding out there realizing that folks need to work, and if they're being told to isolate or quarantine in the agricultural community, then there's some programs available for them to obtain some wages, hopefully.
That is good to know, because I realized when we were talking before about the pre-employment screening, it sounded like, hey, you don't get hired tough, you know, but the fact is you're talking about if people do get sick, there is a refuge for them, potentially financially.
Yes, that is the case, yeah, and Jonathan might have more details on where that information can be found, but you can find it on links to it on the governor's webpage, I believe.
Okay. Jonathan, does that sound like the best place to go?
Yeah, or it's actually being also administered through the Oregon Worker Relief Fund, and they have their own webpage where you can go find assistance there. And then there's also an assistance opportunity for folks who might need housing support during, you know, either quarantine time or, you know, kind of during the uncertainties of COVID. And that's being run through the Oregon Human Development Corporation. Mm-hmm. And workers and farm workers can seek assistance through them.
Does any of the relief go through the Oregon Employment Department? I'm just concerned about the computer backlog and the issues there.
Not directly in terms of the financial assistance, but if somebody was to reach out to them, they could certainly help folks point them in the right direction.
Okay. Jonathan, stick with me for a second here, because just in general, I mean, the harvest period aside, give a sense on the impact on Oregon agriculture already from the pandemic, because you got some markets like restaurants that closed for a while. They're certainly not back to full speed. Sketch the general situation with supply and what appears to be a very shrinking demand.
Sure. And just this is something that, you know, a lot of folks have been asking about, and we've been trying to gather as much information as you know, as possible. And so, anecdotally speaking, I mean, we have seen disruptions, you know, when restaurants were closed down there, and just through the international markets as well, disruptions overseas really impacts Oregon. We don't have any kind of quantifiable data or information right now, but there, you know, we certainly have seen and heard of folks who, you know, who have had to identify new markets, and even had new market opportunities. CSAs and kind of the direct-to-consumer sales have gone really well and increased and kept a lot of those people busy.
Steve Lambert, it looks like as about a week ago, 11,000 masks or so had been handed out to employees from the vineyards, the hemp farms, and the pear orchards. Is that number much greater since that time?
Yeah, I believe there's approximately been, I think it's safe to estimate, another 4,000 or 5,000 or so. I think the latest data I have, I think we're pushing the 15,000 mark on KN95 masks, and mm-hmm. somewhere probably around 100 face shields and several dozen gallons of hand sanitizer.
All right, so that's a lot of hand sanitizer out there, it sounds like. So are there going to be dispensers? You mentioned having more porta-johns in the agricultural operations. Are there going to be hand dispensers placed around near them, in them, that sort of thing?
That's ultimately up to the individual employers to kind of determine what they're going to provide. But yeah, as Jonathan was mentioning, there's OSHA and OHA does have some guidance and temporary rules out there requiring specific amounts. And I believe that is above and beyond what's normally provided. But that's not a rule that the EOC or HHS is providing. That's something that individual employers and ag operators are going to have to comply with.
All right, within some guidelines. Got it. Jackson, we've talked about the KN95 masks as opposed to the N95. What's the difference?
And I'm not an expert in those, but my understanding is there were at least some shipments of KN95s that were found not to meet the appropriate standards to really be able to provide filtration that would be adequate to protect a medical worker from those kind of OSHA, National Institutes of Occupational Safety and Health standards. And so the KN95s, if I recall correctly, we received here, we are giving out for people to use similar to like you would use a cloth mask, but it's not to be used on, for instance, treating a patient with COVID.
All right, so not medical grade stuff, as we had just established. Okay, Steve Lambert, just in general, does it feel like the agricultural operations locally are ready to go? I mean, are you having any last minute surprises as things begin to head into harvest, or does it feel like fairly stable?
Some of the larger growers here are actively working hard to kind of address this issue and stuff, and I think they're giving it their best. I think a lot of folks are learning with rules that are changing, kind of like the rest of us and the rest of the business end of things, and hopefully people can get on board here fairly quickly in this rapidly changing time, because they don't have much time left. They got another couple weeks until harvest really kicks in.
Okay. Jonathan Sando, just a few seconds left, and we'd mentioned the food safety part of this. As things leave the orchards and farms and fields, I mean, are there extra measures to make sure that the food that gets to market is as safe as possible?
You know, food safety is always a number one concern with, you know, the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and we are constantly monitoring and maintaining our safe and clean food supply.
All right, Jonathan Sandow, Special Assistant to the Director at the Oregon Department of Agriculture. From the Jackson County Emergency Operations Center, Steve Lambert, Operational Group Leader. Jackson Bowers, Jackson County Public Health Division Manager. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take care.
Thank you.